Hello and welcome back to another episode of Bases Loaded. On this week's episode, we will be discussing more NBA playoffs as the Bucks season ends 4-1 against the Miami Heat. The top seed Denver Nuggets move on, and other reactions, as well as the big news in terms of like Wisconsin sports this week. Other than the Bucks, Aaron Rodgers gets traded finally to the New York Jets after, you know, a month or so after him telling in an interview that he wanted to play there this season, and other NFL like draft round one recap, which happened last night officially. So we'll kick it off right away with the Bucks season ending on Wednesday night in Milwaukee in overtime. Just of course it was overtime, as this kind of these past two games in the series have been pretty close. But I mean, the Bucks blew double-digit leads into the fourth both games, as well as, I mean, let's see, probably equal parts of that, as well as equal parts Jimmy Butler just, you know, going absolutely off. I mean, combined, he had like 56 points in game four, which was, I think, if I remember correctly, is tied for the fourth most points in a playoff game, with the record being, of course, Michael Jordan scoring 63 against the Boston Celtics, a very good defensive Boston Celtics team in 1986 at Boston Garden. Other reactions, we had the New York Knicks beating the Cleveland Cavaliers, or winning that series also 4-1, as well as the top seed in the Western Conference, the Denver Nuggets moving on, beating Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Phoenix Suns beating the LA Clippers, who will meet in the second round in that game, in that conference. And then we have Sacramento and Golden State is at 3-2, with Golden State leading and the LA Lakers leading 3-2 over the Memphis Grizzlies, and with game six for those, I believe, tonight as well. So we'll see if the series go back to Sacramento and Memphis respectively, or if they're able to close them out. It'll be interesting because Golden State has, you know, this season not played well, or they played better at home, and they won game five on the road, which they had, like, I think tied for third for the worst, like, road season record for a defending, you know, NBA champion. And Memphis, they're in L.A., you know, trying to extend their season back to Memphis for Game 7. So we'll see. You know, they haven't... It's been interesting, you know, couple months for the Memphis Grizzlies with the whole Ja Morant, you know, incident. And you had some players, you know, get injured for the season pretty much, with, like, I think one, you know, was injured for the freeze of the season. And then another, basically, yeah, like, he's not going to play in the postseason because of injury. So I think they're both, like, you know, power forward centers, you know, big guys, you know, for the post type of thing, players that they had. So they're definitely missing out those. But we have, like, every other... I mean, you know, the winner of those two, the last two series will play each other. Because right now we got Miami and New York playing each other, you know, just like everyone predicted, right? And then Boston, Philadelphia, which we kind of figured would happen. And it seems like that's probably going to be definitely the Eastern Conference matchup, or Eastern Conference semifinals matchup to watch, along with, for the Western Conference, being Denver and Phoenix. Because I think, like, whoever wins those series is probably going to be the favorite to not only represent their conference in the NBA Finals come June. I mean, who wins? It's kind of hard to say. Because, I mean, they're both very... I mean, you can make the case for any of those four teams to win their series. But we'll have to see maybe, like, after Game 1 what happens. I think Game 1, Denver and Phoenix is Saturday? I believe it's Saturday. Yeah, it's Saturday. And New York... And the Knicks and Heat games one is on Sunday, and then probably, you know, and then Boston Celtics, or Boston, yeah, Boston Celtics, and then Philly is Monday. So it's a little weird once we get to the semifinals, because then, you know, if the series is over and like the two teams are already set to play in the next round, they kind of start early and then, you know, they go on there. Or like the first round, you know, you had, you know, there's eight playoff matchups. You know, there was four on Saturday, four that Sunday, and, you know, they start from there. But now, you know, once we've had teams that have advanced and we can, like, the next round is determined, they kind of set that in motion and, you know, they catch up later with the other teams. So, you know, by, like, next week, we'll kind of, we should have at least game one for each of the conference semifinals played, if not for some of them too. Well, for Denver and Phoenix, we'll have at least two games played at that point. I don't really know who I would give the edge. I mean, I probably make the case, as of now, I might choose, like, Phoenix. I guess, you know, because they're pretty loaded. I mean, Denver's loaded as well with, you know, the past 2 year MVP, Nikola Jokic, as well. I mean, he made the case for him winning this year again for a three-peat. I don't know if that'll happen. I don't know if there might be a little voter fatigue on his behalf. Cause it seems like the past couple of weeks of the season, like, Joel Embiid of the 76ers kind of maybe edged himself as the front runner. But, you know, we'll have to see. I think they announced the MVP next week or something like that, it might be. So we'll have to see who wins that. But, because, I mean, Denver has, like, Nikola Jokic. They got Jamal Murray at point guard. They have Aaron Gordon as, like, I think he's small forward. And, like, they have a good team. I think Phoenix probably has a little bit more, I would say, like, more, like, scoring power. Because, I mean, Jokic, I mean, he'll get, like, 10 points, but he's, like, a triple-double machine. So, like, I mean, game five closing out the Timberwolves, he had, like, 20-some points, which for him is kind of, like, midnight for him point-wise. Just, like, he's kind of more of a team player. So, like, he'll get rebounds, get more so assists than points, but, like, he'll get, like, you know, he'll get a triple-double. It's kind of just, you know, a matter of time at that point. But, you know, Phoenix has, like, you know, Durant and Booker, which can both easily put up, like, 35-plus on a night. And then Chris Paul, you know, not going to score that much. I mean, he can score, like, in the 20s, but he's more of, like, a double-double with, like, you know, points and assists type of thing. And then you have, like, DeAndre Ayton at center. Again, kind of, like, yeah, I'm, like, more so, like, getting rebounds and kind of, you know, a defensive game than offense. Does get into a little bit of foul trouble at times, and that's something like the Bucks took advantage of in, like, you know, the 2021 finals, and that's probably something, like, you know, Denver might be looking at as well. I don't know if he's any better this year with getting into foul trouble. I don't really watch a lot of, like, the Phoenix Suns teams because, like, they play on the West Coast, so, you know, their games are, like, late at night, and, you know, they don't start till, like, 9, and then by the time they're done, it's like 11:30 midnight, if they're even showing that game that they're playing in. Otherwise, you know, they're going to go late at night, and, you know, or especially if it goes, like, overtime, then, like, you are talking well past until midnight for the game. But, yeah, I guess we'll circle back to the Bucks, I guess. I watched part of game, like, the end of game four. I mean, Jimmy Butler pretty much just willed his team to victory, just put the ball in his hands, you know, basically did, like, a Michael Jordan, like, I will win us this game at whatever I have to do, whatever it takes, I will do it. And then game five, which was Wednesday, an interesting case, like, it was supposed to be, like, they were showing it on NBA TV, and I have YouTube TV, so, like, one of the channels I get is NBA TV, right? So I should be able to watch the game because it's telling me I am, but, like, for some reason, despite living in Wisconsin and the game being played in Milwaukee, the game was blocked in my area. So I had to, like, I was watching Sacramento and Golden State on TV while having the ESPN app loaded it onto the game. And if you don't know, like, watching, like, a game live, I mean, in quotation marks I'm using, live on, like, ESPN, or even when I watch, like, you know, check baseball games on, like, the MLB app, it's live, but, like, when you watch it, you're getting something that's happened, like, probably, like, a minute or so in the past. So, like, if you watch, like, the game, someone hits a home run, and you're, like, watching the app, it will not update until, you know, almost the next batter is, like, getting ready to bat. Then it'll say, like, you know, so-and-so hit a 2-run home run or whatever. Like, the same thing with the ESPN app, you know. Be like, oh, someone scored a touchdown. It's like, no, I'm watching on the app, and no, it didn't. So, you know, it's very interesting to watch it, like, you know, app, watching it, following as, you know, it's happening on my phone and the app, and it's like, you know, so-and-so made the shot, and then, like, I was watching, like, the end recap after the Sacramento-Golden State game on TNT, where it's, like, Ernie Johnson, Kenny Smith, Shaq, and then Charles Barkley, you know, doing their after-game, you know, post-game analysis, and, like, they're talking about the Bucks game, and, like, I'm actually seeing the highlights where it's like, okay, I remember, you know, watching the app, and it said, like, Jimmy Butler made the shot, and then you're watching, and, like, he made the shot, and, like, the shot he made to force overtime was insane. Little bit of a push off, you know, offensively right there, but I don't, you know, it's one of those things that kind of like call, but not, you know, especially when it's like that kind of like thing. If it's very obvious, like, you know, they're pushing off with like their hand, then they would call, but if it's something like that, you know, more than likely it's not going to be called. So, you know, that's NBA playoff type of thing. You know, next week we'll have our conference semifinals fully set. Some, at least one series will have two games played at that point. Everyone else should have at least one, if not two. Maybe, I mean, the Knicks and Heat, they might have two, because if they start Sunday, then, yeah, they should have two games played by Wednesday at least. Because, you know, first two games are played in one game, and then they switch over. So, like, yeah, they should easily have two games there. So the other big Wisconsin sports news of the week is that Aaron Rodgers gets traded to the Jets for pretty much an exchange of picks and stuff like that. Like, the Jets and Packers exchanged first-round picks, basically, for this year. So, like, the Jets had the 15th. They had the 13th. You know, they had 13th, and the Packers had 15th. So, you know, they flipped that. Packers got I believe they gave up I think the Packers got a second-round pick, too, and then they got a conditional second-round pick next year, which becomes a first-round pick if Rodgers plays more than 65% of the plays, which I think he probably will. So that's, you know, definitely another first-round pick for the Packers. I guess initial reaction was like, you know, it's kind of a lot for the Jets to give up, especially with, like, what Rodgers has been doing these past off-seasons, where he's like, I don't know, I might come back, I might not, I might retire, I might, you know, asked to be traded, I might leave, you know, like, what is he doing? So, like, you know, I'm sure, on the Jets' side, they probably would have probably had some discussions this week with Rodgers to try and be like, okay, this is at least maybe a 2-year commitment to, like, finish out this contract that he has. And they restructured his deal, so he's making, like, the minimum a player can make. It's like 1.5, maybe 1.3 something million, or whatever it is, I don't know. For this year, it's like the bare minimum for, like, a player type of thing. So, you know, it helps. I think even with it, like, the Jets were still, like, under the salary cap a little bit, so, like, they still had, like, some room. But, you know, this will help them, you know, able to, like, sign these draft picks that they got, or that they drafted, you know, round one last night, and then, you know, the rest of the draft that continues tonight and then ends tomorrow night. So, and then, I mean, and then the Packers, you know, you wind up getting the, you know, 2-round first picks, you know, you can't, you know, bite the bullet of this whole Roger thing of, like, will he come back, will he retire, you know, this past couple off seasons that he's done. So, you know, it's over, which I guess is, like, the thing that, you know, probably most Packers fans might be a little bit, I guess, relieved to be, like, you know, this whole, like, thing for the past month and a half, it's like, he wants to play for the Jets, or is it going to happen, what are they going to take, who are the Jets? Are the Jets willing to give up a first-round pick? Are they not going to give up their first-round pick? Are they going to do this? So, you know, now that's over. The dust has settled, I guess, as we would say. You know, both organizations and teams can move forward now. in the post, you know, Rodgers era of Green Bay, and then in the Rodgers era for, you know, the Jets now. So I guess, you know, it's interesting. I remember, like, and it's like, it's around 15 years that, you know, the Packers traded Brett Favre to the Jets. And I remember, like, that happening because it was like, I was in sixth grade and, like, you know, came into school and it was like, you know, first class, you know, so like almost 8 o'clock type of thing. And everyone's gathered by the TV and it's like, what's happening? And, you know, they're watching, like, sports and it's like, you know, breaking news, Aaron Rodgers, or not Aaron Rodgers, wow, Brett Favre traded to the Jets. And it's like, you know, type of thing happening. And now it's like kind of the same situation. You know, being traded to the same team and all that. Though I don't remember exactly what, you know, the Packers got in regards to the, you know, Brett Favre trade and stuff like that, because I don't really remember a whole lot football-wise from that time. I mean, because, like, that time I'm mostly, like, most of my sports, like, you know, memories and stuff like that from that time was baseball. So, like, football, I was, like, you know, I'd watch, like, you know, the NFL and, you know, Badgers football and stuff like that, but, like, I mostly remember, like, baseball stuff from that time. So, like, my football, basketball knowledge from that time, well, I probably remember a little bit more basketball than football then. Because, like, I would, like, you know, like, my favorite player at that time was Kobe, so, like, I would watch, like, you know, the Lakers games and root for Kobe and, like, all that stuff. So, like, you know, anytime I play, like, 2K, I'd be, like, I had to be the Lakers because I had to be Kobe Bryant, you know, and drop, like, you know, 50 on my opponent, stuff like that, you know. So, and then, like, you know, we had, like I said, the draft first round was last night. Carolina Panthers had the first overall pick. That was the Bears' first overall pick, but the Bears traded to Carolina. I think it was about a month ago or so, too. So, like, they've been, you know, obviously preparing for this and being, like, going through all their options as, like, a number one overall pick has. But, like, you kind of knew they were going to pick a quarterback. It just was, like, the question was, what quarterback are they going to pick? And it kind of seemed like regards of, like, two of, and they kind of narrowed down to, like, two, being, like, Bryce Young of Alabama and then C.J. Stroud of Ohio State. And then, you know, there was, I guess, some talks this week of, like, him possibly being, like, Will Lewis of Kentucky, but I guess it was either all talk. There was, like, just some, like, person on, like, Reddit who was, like, I know from, like, an anonymous, you know, Soros who's pretty credible on the stuff saying that, like, you know, that Houston might take, like, you know, who had the second overall pick might take Will Lewis. So then, like, is that, like, a guarantee that, like, you know, Carolina's taking Bryce Young type of thing? Which didn't, I mean, now it didn't happen, just let me know, but, you know, at the time, you know, it's all this lead up, and it's like, you know, you look at all these, like, mock drafts, and, you know, kind of, you know, analysis and stuff like that, and it's like, will it happen? I don't know, because it's like, you don't know until it happens, you know, fully. So, and then, yeah, like, yeah, the first two picks, and then Texas, they had, like, another pick in the, I think it was, like, the 12th or whatever pick. But it was originally, you know, the Carolina or Arizona Cardinals, and then they traded it, apparently, to the Texans. They get the third overall pick, and then they picked Will Anderson Jr. from Alabama. So, you know, you got, like, kind of your, I guess, star player on offense, and then hopefully your star player on defense is, I guess, probably what, I guess, is their goal, what they're thinking with this whole strategy, I would say, I guess. I didn't watch the draft. I usually do, but, like, there was a friend in town, and so, like, me and another friend, you know, went out to eat and stuff like that, so I didn't watch it, but I was kind of, like, you know, later in the night, I was, like, checking to see who drafted who and all that stuff, and, like, so, yeah, I guess that's what they were going for. You know, you did bet pits, you get an offensive star, hopefully defensive star, and go from there. And then you had the Colts, number four, again, they were also looking for a quarterback. Because, like, since Andrew Luck retired, like, pretty much out of the nowhere in 2019, they've been, you know, trading for, like, these veteran quarterbacks, you know, Carson Wentz. 21, last year they had Matt Ryan, and, you know, those not working out, Colts end up getting a top five pick. They draft Anthony Richardson, a quarterback down in Florida, who was kind of, like, a talk on draft teams is, like, he has, like, a lot of potential, but he only started, like, 13 games at Florida, So, like, you know, it's a lot of, like, untapped raw potential. But the new, if I'm remembering correctly, the new, like, Colts head coach was, like, the offensive coordinator or something like that with Philadelphia Eagles, and who helped develop Jalen Hurts. So I guess the, you know, thing in terms, I guess, of the Colts thinking is to, like, you know, draft this quarterback. I mean, he hasn't started, so, like, we can maybe just let him kind of sit for a couple of games this season, if not the full season, develop under this coach and system, and, like, you know, untap this potential. And he's, like, 20 years old, so, I mean, there's really no, I guess, probably rush to start him this year. But, like, I mean, the Colts have some, you know, good players on, like, offense. You know, you got pretty much solid offensive line. You got Jonathan Taylor you can run the ball with, some pretty solid receivers. So, like, you have the team there. You just kind of, like, develop this quarterback. And if he turns out as good as, you know, these scouts and stuff are saying, you could have pretty much, you know, you could have the best quarterback in this draft that you drafted at four overall, or number four overall, I should say. And then number five, I'm not going to go probably through the entire order, I'm just kind of picking out some stuff, was the Seattle Seahawks pick, who they got from trading Russell Wilson to Denver last year. So they got this pick. I think they got a first-round pick, but it became a first or a top-five pick because of how Denver did this season, stuff like that. They drafted another corner, which it seemed like people, I guess, you know, and leading up to, from, like, what I was reading, like, mock drafts and stuff like that, that they picked, like, a defensive player, like, the top defensive tackle, Jalen Carter, or someone else, because, like, they're kind of having, they haven't been getting, like, a lot of sats and, like, you know, stuff like that from their defense the past couple years, so, you know, maybe use a top five pick and kind of, you know, get a good player on that. And then, because they had another, they had their original first round pick in, like, you know, I think it was like the 20s or something like that. Yeah, number 20. They drafted, like, another one of the top receivers in the draft. So, and then, like, they had a good rookie cornerback that they had last year. So I guess, you know, they're trying to pair maybe these two rookie, you know, pretty young corners and, like, able to build, you know, maybe like another, I guess, Legion of Boom secondary or something like that, maybe. But I don't know if either of these tournaments are really, like, a lot of hit power and stuff like that. So I guess we'll see, I guess, in terms of their point, you know. But, I mean, it's kind of, I guess, a surprise at number five, I guess, from, like, all the thoughts that people have been, like, you know, that maybe the Seahawks might be doing, like, trying to improve that defense. I just like the defense. Defensive front seven type of thing, as opposed to, like, you know, their secondary type of thing. Cardinals trade, I guess, they might have, I guess they switched, or they, with Houston, I don't know, I thought Houston had, like, a top, I think it was, like, a 12th or something, like, the 12th overall pick or something that they had, so they must have, like, in order to get the third, they give, I don't know exactly what it is, but Arizona had the sits and used it on offensive tackle, because I guess, you know, you're trying to protect Tyler Murray. You know, you're facing your franchise right now. I mean, he's not going to play for a couple months or so because he tore his ACL in, like, one of the last games last season. So, but, you know, it'll definitely help, you know, keep him upright. And, you know, because that's kind of their franchise now, or that is, like, their team, is Tyler Murray. Like, they don't really have, like, that's their team. If you think of, like, the Arizona Cardinals, I think Tyler Murray. I don't really think of anyone else on that team. That I can think of. I mean, you have, like, DeAndre Hopkins, but it seems like he's staying. There were some thoughts of, like, maybe they would trade him or something like that, but it seems like, as of now, that's what's happening. So, Raiders, seven, picking a defensive end. I guess another surprise is the Atlanta Falcons picked the top running back that people had, Bijan Robinson. Probably pronounce that wrong. I'm sorry. Running back out of Texas, number 8th overall, who a lot of people kind of thought would go later. So I think, like, you know, they had, like, they drafted, like, a rookie. Well, they drafted a running back last year in, like, one of their rounds. So, and for a rookie, he did, like, solid. Like, he wasn't, like, you know, an outstanding rookie running back, but, like, he did pretty well in terms of, like, for a rookie. So I guess, you know, that's a little surprising given. I don't know. I guess they didn't really need a running back, but they picked one. I guess, you know, maybe doing that whole best player available type strategy where you just pick someone, whoever is the best on the board, you just take that and just go from there. And then the Eagles, you know, despite making the Super Bowl, they still had like, they got like a top 10 pick. I don't, that must have been from like a trade or something. I don't know. But, you know, they got like the Jalen Carter that, who a lot of people actually has like the best overall player out of everyone. It's just that, like, you know, the teams with like some of the first top five picks had more quarterback needs than like, you know, a defensive tackle. So there's that. And the Bears are an offensive tackle to try and like, you know, help protect Jalen Fields. Tennessee Titans, another offensive tackle. And then running back, again, two running backs. I mean, usually people kind of be like, you don't really draft running backs in the first round, but I guess the Falcons and Detroit Lions are kind of like, yeah, we're not gonna follow that rule this year, I guess, or whatever. They got a running back from Alabama. But I know, like, the Lions had, like, again, they had, like, another solid running back. I think they had, like, two last year and, like, one left in free agency signed somewhere, so I don't remember where he went. But, like, I guess they're trying to, you know, refill it, that void, I guess. But I don't know. A lot of times with these drafts, it's like you don't really know what they're doing or what teams are thinking because, like, you're not in the, you know, front office room or something or draft room, like, then. So you don't really know what's happening until it happens. Because, like, all these players are probably going to, you know, play. If they're not, like, a day one starter, they're going to, you know, be, like, a starter probably by the end of the first season. And it's the same with, like, you know, the NBA draft and NHL, whereas, like, you know, MLB draft, like, even if you're drafted number one overall, like, you're not playing that year. Like, it's going to be at least 2 years probably before you play in the majors. Because, you know, you go to the minors and you kind of, like, you know, develop as a player and you kind of prove yourself that you can, like, you know, play better against, like, you know, better pitching, better competition, and, like, you know, you work your way up type of thing. Whereas, like, you know, all these, you know, everyone's, you know, by, like, the end of year two, they'll probably be a starter, because that's just kind of how it works with, like, the NBA draft and NFL draft and all those drafts that are not baseball-related. You know, pretty much you're drafted, you probably pretty much know you're either a day one starter or, like, you're going to be kind of waiting in the wing and learning. And then developing that year one with, like, you know, maybe year two, you can kind of, after learning for a little bit, you know, go out there and, like, prove yourself in, like, you know, the training camps and OTAs and all that stuff during the summer. So from the Aaron Rodgers trade, the Packers got the 13th overall pick. They picked a defensive end, Lucas Van Ness from Iowa, who has a lot of potential, but, like, hadn't played a whole lot. Like, where he played at Iowa, but, like, he'd never started a game. So I guess, like, you know, I was talking to, like, my friend last night, and he was like, why are we picking, like, another defensive player? But I guess, you know, other than, like, Jordan Love in 2020, the Packers have not drafted an offensive player in the first round. So I guess it's kind of like, oh, why would they do it now? Why would they start now? But I guess, you know, he has potential, and, like, you know, they had, like, an injury to, like, Rashad Gary last year and stuff like that. So, like, you know, and, you know, another player with Preston Smith is, like, aged up a little bit, you know, getting up there in age, so, like, you know, you can bring this guy, develop him, and then you have, like, a solid young DN to, like, you know, work around. And then on the other side with, like, the Jets, they picked an outside linebacker from Iowa State. So both, you know, in terms of the Rodgers trade, both teams used a pick on a college player from Iowa, but, you know, both defensive players, just different stuff. I mean, I guess it seemed like maybe the Jets would use, like, an offensive tackle to protect Rodgers, which is what, I mean, that's what the Buccaneers did when they got Tom Brady. You know, they drafted Tom, or they signed Tom Brady, and then they used, I think they had, like, two first-round picks that year, and they used one on, like, an offensive tackle and stuff like that, and it worked out pretty well for them. I don't know who was an offensive tackle on the Jets. I mean, they definitely don't have Nick Mandel, the center, anymore, so it's like, I don't know who's on that team. In regards to the offensive line. So, you know, I don't exactly know what the Jets are doing, but I guess, you know, they're trying to maybe help, you know, defense. They can, like, help Aaron Rodgers on the offense that way, I guess, type of thing, which maybe is maybe what the Packers are doing. But, again, it's like, who knows what some of these teams are doing. And then, you know, and the Washington Commanders and Patriots take cornerbacks with the 16th and 17th overall picks. Detroit picks a linebacker from Iowa at 18. And let's see, we got 20 through 23rd picks. We all like the top wide receivers of the class are drafted. I'm not going to be able to pronounce that name, but like the standout from Ohio State, Jackson Smith, went to the Seahawks. You have Twin Johnson, TCU, to the Chargers. Zay Flowers of Boston College to Baltimore. And then Jordan Addison of USC to the Minnesota Vikings. So Seahawks get, you know, a weapon, another offensive weapon for, you know, Geno Smith, which is kind of considering, like, you know, you have DK Metcalf, you have Tyler Lockett still, so you have like already a pretty solid 1-2, but now you have like 3 to pass to, and you know, for teams to defend type of thing. So I guess good luck to anyone that has to play the Seahawks this year, because it seems like, you know, this Ohio State guy can play like slot, play outside, you know, to mention match type of thing. Quentin Johnson for the Chargers. It seems like, you know, the Chargers are kind of maybe looking forward to the future with this, and that, like, I think it might be Mike Williams who, like, this is like the last year of his contract, so, you know, he's going to need a payday come next year. So I guess, you know, you draft this young receiver, you know, you can kind of, I guess, fill that void if he does, in fact, leave, and, you know, you'll be saving some money and stuff like that, and, like, you know, be able to use this receiver on a rookie deal and, you know, help Justin Herbert along and try and, you know, break through in the AFC, which, I mean, is loaded with quarterbacks, even more so now that Rodgers is there. So, you know, all that offensive help you can get is, you know, greatly appreciated. And then Zay Flowers to Baltimore, who, I mean, Baltimore, they signed Odell Beckham to a 1-year deal. I think it was as of yesterday, they finally worked out the whole, like, Lamar Jackson extension. So he got extended for 5 years. I think it was, like, $200-some million or whatever it was. So, you know, that's settled. And it's like, yeah, you got, like, Odell Beckham Jr. And I think they signed someone else, but, you know, this will definitely help, too, because they, other than, like, tight end Mark Andrews, like, there isn't really a receiving threat on that Baltimore team. So, like, you know, this draft, you know, pick, and then, you know, Odell, and I don't know who else they sent. They sent someone else that was, like, not, like, crazy, but, like, you know, will definitely help out. So, and then Jordan Addison, you know, the Vikings released Adam Thielen. So, like, now you have another, you know, very good receiver for Kirk Cousins at throw through, so now you have to defend against, you know, not only Justin Jefferson, you know, the best, arguably the best receiver in the game, but now you got this receiver from USC who again is like a pretty good route runner and stuff like that, and, you know, has like, you know, pretty good speed and stuff like that. So you just add another thing to have to worry about in terms of Minnesota. And, like, you know, now with Rodgers down, like, this in NFC North division is pretty much wide open at this point. So, you know, put whoever you want to try and contend, and, you know, to, like, the division's up for grabs now and stuff like that officially. Or you don't have to worry about, like, you know, Green Bay anymore with Rodgers. So you kind of, like, have to take advantage of your shot while you have it. New York Football Giants, a cornerback from Maryland. Again, I don't really know who this is. I mean, Maryland's in the Big Ten, but, like, you know, they're not a very powerhouse school in the Big Ten, so, like, you know, they're not exactly, you know, to watch for, but, like, you know, they'll produce some, you know, standouts every now and then, like this corner, Stephon Diggs. So, like, you know, they'll produce some NFL talent every now and then, but it's not, like, a standout just because of their program. At 25, the Buffalo Bills, you know, draft another tight end. I mean, they have a solid tight end, but, you know, a lot of teams will run 2 tight end formations or stuff like that. You know, if one's, you know, more of a blocking tight end than a receiving tight end, then, you know, you'll put them in for play and help with blocking and stuff like that. And, you know, you can you know, develop from that tight end. So I'm like, you know, if they leave free agency or, you know, something like that happens or injured, you know, you have, you know, a solid backup to, like, you know, plug in as a starter, and, you know, you're not, it's not like you're missing anything. And, you know, plus, you know, getting another weapon for Josh Allen, you know, is not a bad thing for the Bills, considering, and now, you know, you have to go and compete with, like, Aaron Rodgers and the Jets two times a year, so, you know, giving you more firepower to work with works out pretty well. And then Dallas Cowboys, with the 26th pick, got defensive tackle, kind of help out their run defense, that they struggle a lot pretty much throughout the season. I know when I went, since that's like the Packers game I went to last year, was like the Cowboys Packers game, because my mom won some tickets through work, so we went to that game, because that's the game actually, like, my, because she had like three options, and like she talked to my brother, like, what game would be the best to go to, and he picked that one, which is probably what I would pick too, just because. And I know, like, yeah, the Packers ran pretty solid that game against the Cowboys. Just like, yeah, you don't, like, I think, because I think Dallas runs a 4-3, so, like, you need a good, you know, run-stuffing defensive tackle in the middle, you know, to, like, clog up that, and, like, you know, you allow your, like, your defense ends, like, you know, rush the passer. Not that the tackle team rush the passer, too, but, like, you know, in a run situation, you know, they're kind of there to clog the middle and stuff like that. And, like, it seems like that's kind of what, from, like, reading this, like, post, you know, draft analysis, that's kind of what, you know, this player is at the Cowboys drafted. The Jacksonville Jaguars drafted an offensive lineman. I'm almost certain, probably certain, that had to do with, like, you know, one of their offensive linemen facing probably a multiple-game suspension from performance-enhancing drugs. That was announced, I think, either yesterday or Wednesday. That was in, you know, a possibility, so that's probably what they were doing. The Cincinnati Bengals, a defensive end from Clemson, probably, you know, want to help that defense. It's like, offense, they're pretty set. Like, you know, you have Joe Burrow, like, you know, last offseason, and then in the draft, they had some offensive linemen to help, you know, protect him, because he was getting sacked a lot. Not only during that, in that Super Bowl, but also in that playoff run and in that season as well. So, you know, trying to keep him upright is kind of what they did last year. And now, like, you know, working on the defense to kind of, like, you know, get them off the field and get Joe Burrow back on the field type of situation. I guess that's kind of, I mean, they were probably thinking, I thought maybe they'd go secondary, because that's kind of what I was, like, looking at, because, you know, they've had, like, some free agents leave in their secondary this year, so I mean, you know, maybe they would address that. But I guess, you know, you have, like, you know, six other rounds to address these type of things. So, I mean, dealing with, like, the Packers not dating, like, you know, a tight end receiver. Many people's top tight end is still on the board. There's some good receivers still there. The receiving class this year for tight ends and receivers is pretty deep. So, you know, Packers fans will probably have to, we'll have to, like, just kind of wait and see what happens in these next rounds. Because, I mean, they've got some draft capital, you know, from the Rodgers trade that they can, like, maybe use to trade up and get one of these players if they think, like, they might be taken by another team that might have interest. So, you know, just, like, you know, it's pretty much those first three rounds is, like, where you kind of get, like, the more immediate help. And then, like, the later rounds of, like, 4 through 7 on, like, Saturday is, like, where, like, you try and maybe get someone that has, like, some potential that maybe feel like can, you know, take them to OTAs and, like, train camp and, like, try and tap into that potential that maybe you can get, like, a, you know, a six-round steal, or even undrafted. Like, you know, there's some been undrafted players in the past that have made Pro Bowls, you know, made the All-Pro team, so, like, it's not impossible to find some, you know, Pro Bowl and even, like, Hall of Fame-type talent in the later rounds. It's just a matter of, like, you know, finding them and stuff like that. Like, but, like, you know, these first three rounds are, like, more you're going to get, like, these, like, more immediate help, and then, you know, come later rounds, you're kind of working on, like, what do we need, and, like, maybe we can draft some, like, you know, depth for, like, you know, a quarterback, you know, or a wide receiver or something like that, you know. And then New Orleans Saints at 29 got a D tackle to help, I guess, kind of, you know, build that defense, because they're kind of like a little rebuild type of thing. So, you know, and then the first round picks of, or the few, The Eagles' second first-round pick, they got a linebacker from Georgia. I think it wasn't their first-round pick from Georgia. Yeah. So they got two defensive players from, like, you know, the reigning college national champions. And I guess they did that last year where they used, like, a first-round pick on another member of that Georgia defense. So I guess they're maybe just, like, whoever wins the national championship, we're going to draft a player from that defense, I guess. Maybe. But, I mean, also, you know, best player available type of thing, too, as well. So, and then the last pick, and there was only 31 picks, because, let's see, I don't know if I remember all the teams, but I know, like, yeah, like, Denver didn't have a first-round pick because they traded it to Seahawks for Russell Wilson. The Dolphins didn't have a pick because of, like, tampering, I guess something with, like, you know, signing free agents, like, you know, out of the time thing or something like that, so that they lost that. I think there was, like, another one or something. Because there was a couple teams that had multiple first-round picks so like that, but, you know, the last pick, 31, was the, you know, reigning Super Bowl champion team. To see Chiefs, and they got a D end from Kansas State, so not exactly, you know, had to go that far in terms of playing, but, you know, they had, like, some player they like released Frank Clark on a D end, so, you know, probably draft this player to try and replace him, you know, that you can, like, you know, work into the rotation and then, you know, develop and stuff like that. And that's pretty much round one. I just kind of, like, some standouts that I saw, you know, type of thing, basically. You know, there's, like, obviously, like, you know, some winners and losers and stuff where it's, like, you know, and then teams, like, were kind of, like, why did they draft this type of player? And then, which, I mean, I looked at best talent, I don't know, you never know. It's, like, and then, like, some of the people, like, I know I saw, like, you know, winners and losers and stuff like that that I was talking about, from one, like, the ESPN people, and he's, like, even, like, some of these losers and, like, head stretching ones, I liked the pick. He just kind of, like, you know, overreached in terms of drafting, like, you know, by that, like, you know, if the player is, like, could be available, like, round two when you're drafting them, like, late round one, you know, that's a reach, or, like, you know, they might not be, you know, you reached to grab a position that, like, you know, you didn't need or something like that. So, you know, even if it is, like, you know, head stretching or, like, a loser, like, you know, it doesn't necessarily look bad. It's just, like, kind of, like, you know, you probably trade out this player in, like, your original draft, you know, spot without having to trade up type of thing. So, it'll be, like, you know, more for, like, you know, after, like, you know, today and tomorrow and the draft is over, of, like, who fully wants to, like, you know, like I said, you can get, like, good talent regardless. It's just a matter of, like, finding it and, you know, going through it and developing and stuff like that. So, you know, and, you know, especially if, like, you know, you're, like, some of these top teams that had, like, a top 10 pick, you know, you're hoping to bank on these picks to help, you know, especially, like, you know, these teams that, like, you can, like, not have to draft in the top 5 again next year, and, like, maybe you can draft in, like, you know, maybe if anything, like, you know, sits through 10 or, like, in the top 15, kind of prove yourself that you, you know, you can build a better winning team where you're not having to draft in the top 10 anymore. So, that is this week's show. You know, we'll be back next week. So, thank you for listening and have a good week.